السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم ولئن كفرتم إن عذابي لشديد. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز اور سسٹرز، لسنرز اور ریسیورز، دیر از نو نیڈ فار اینی ایویڈنس دیٹ وی آر لیونگ ان ٹائمز آف گریٹ فتناز، فتناز فرام اور رائٹ، فتناز فرام اور لیفٹ، فتناز فرام ان فرنٹ آف اس، فتناز فرام بیہائنڈ اس، اینڈ آل کائنڈز آف فساد اینڈ فتناز پورنگ فرام دا سیٹلائٹ ابو اس. ایز آئی آلویز سے ان مائی دعا دیٹ یا اللہ پروٹیکٹ اس فرام آل دیز ڈفرنٹ کائنڈز آف فتناز، اینڈ سم آف دا فتناز دیٹ آر کمنگ وی آر ناٹ ایون ریکگنائزنگ دم ایز فتناز. اے پرسن کین اونلی میک توبہ فرام دوز سنز ویچ ہی ریگارڈز اینڈ کنسیڈرز ایز سن، بٹ وین ہی کنسیڈرز ایز سن ایز ثواب، when he considers as a sin or something that brings reward, a sin as something to be bragged about, something to be discussed amongst friends and family members, that I engaged in this sin, I engaged in that sin. But he doesn't say it is sin, he engaged in some kind of sawab. Because there are many things that we do against the Quran Sharif and against the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and we just put a label of Islam on it, and then we consider it as sawab. And thereafter, definitely we are not going to make any kind of tawbah from such kind of sins. So fitnas are pouring, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had predicted this. And whatever he has predicted, it is nothing but the truth, and it is going to happen. We say, then why did he predict it? If it was going to happen, we are caught in those fitnas now, so what must we do? So we said, such a time, we must look at those predictions of his, and we must run far from those fitnas. That is the purpose of it. If somebody informs us that there is a lion that is out from the cage and it is on this road, and don't allow your children to play there because it can devour your children and devour you too and make you a samosa for breakfast, so then will anybody go on that road? So that information was so that we may guard ourselves. All those things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, which was good for us, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself said, there is nothing that he left behind, nothing that he left out which was good for us, but that he informed us. And anything that would have caused us harm, that would have brought us close to the fire of Jahannam, then he warned us about it. So we have to be more cautious, more alert, because fitnas are coming in different forms. As we say, in different packages you get different things. So at such a time, it is important that we make certain kinds of amals which are not difficult. I discussed this at length in some majlis, or might be a Jummah day some time back. But it is something, as I said, which is relevant. If it is for benefit, then it is like those drips that are given in the hospitals, that drop by drop, it goes into our system. But we don't say that we are tired of it now, or how can we take more than one drop? It's the same medication. And many doctors, they tell us that for your heart problem, for your sugar problem, for your pressure problem, for this problem, for that problem, I'm very, very sorry, but you will have to take this medication for life. Now the patient is, if he's really serious about his health, then he does not tell the doctor that, what do you expect me to take this medication for life? Every day I must take the same kind of tablets. I must drink the same kind of medicine. So for physical ailments, we are very, very sharp. We are very alert. We are very quick. Therefore, my Shaykh Hazrat Shaki Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatuhum, He said very beautifully, agar jism tera zara ho khaleel, hakeemo ki sunta hai tu bedaleel. Agar jism tera zara ho khaleel, hakeemo ki sunta hai tu bedaleel. Dawa talkh se talkh peeta hai tu, khushamat tabeebo ki karta hai tu. Dawa talkh se talkh peeta hai tu, khushamat tabeebo ki karta hai tu. He says, if there is any pain and ache in your body, if your pressure has gone high, if your sugar has gone high, or if there is joint aches and pains, whatever pain in the body, then what you do is you rush to the tabib, you rush to the doctors, you rush to the hakims, and then you don't even ask that hakim and the doctor for all kinds of evidence to prove that that medication is something that will really and definitely benefit you, and what are the ingredients and what of that medicine, what are the contents. All that we don't take. We just choose a good doctor and we go and we take the medication. So he said, this is what you do when it comes to your physical ailments. Then what about your spiritual ailment? What about the spiritual ailment? Why do we not do the same thing there? That the moment we see that we are sick, and every person knows whether he is spiritually sick or not. We're talking about a Muslim. We're not talking about a person that doesn't believe in Allah Ta'ala, doesn't believe in the Day of Judgment, doesn't believe in Jannat and Jahannam. We're not talking about those people. We're talking about any person who is a reasonable Muslim. Then if he says that, I don't know, I can't see whether I'm spiritually sick, then this person really needs an operation. He needs not a bypass, but a transplant of the spiritual heart, because he can't even recognize and see that he is sick. So for spiritual ailments, we are not very much concerned. And in these times and days of fitnas, that's why I'm saying that it is more important that we should be concerned about our spiritual ailments, more than even our physical ailments, because a physical ailment, at the most, it takes to the qabristan. We are told to keep our body in fit and healthy condition also, so that we may be able to fulfill the commands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with regards to the fulfillment of the rights of our wives, our children, the earning of halal livelihood, the performance of salat, fasting in Ramadan, making hajj. Now all these things require good health. If we're not going to have good physical health, how are we going to be able to undertake all this kind of ibadat? So even there, the purpose is so that we may fulfill those commands of Allah Ta'ala. Not just so that we may enjoy adultery, fornication, and watching haram, and engaging in dance and going to the clubhouses and discos. It wasn't for that. That health was given so that we may use it correctly. So therefore, this ayat of the Quran Sharif, which you have heard many, many times, and we may have heard it in the recitation, in the salat, and also we read Quran Sharif and we listen to different bayans. Hardly a person is here who has not heard any bayan on shukr. So this shukr, Hazrat Maulana Dr. Abdul Hai Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, said that in these times, he was talking about his times, he says that there are four things that a person should do. Four things, very, very simple. And this has been recommended by his Shaykh, Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayh. And it is deduced, if you have to look at it, from the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. But for every time and age, there are different kinds of prescriptions. We try to make things as simple as possible. Those days they used to give lengthy wazifas to read, that read so many thousand times, this and that. In our times, because of our weakness, physical and spiritual, those wazaif and things are not given. What is given is that to take some pressure upon our heart and resist the temptation to sin, and the person will become waliullah. He makes his namaz, farz, wajib, sunnat, fulfills the rights of people, he is honest and is truthful, he stays away from haram, then this person is a waliullah of the time. So four things which don't even require any kind of great effort, doesn't even require any kind of expenditure. Because some people, for them, it is easy to read wazifas, but if you have to say, spend some money in the cause of deen, then that is very difficult. Like that famous incident that Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh mentions, He says that sometimes these tears which we shed, they are crocodile tears. Although Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He even accepts those crocodile tears. If we shed those tears whilst we are making dua, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows what the condition of our hearts are. But He is so loving, so compassionate, so merciful, so forgiving, so kind, that He even accepts those tears. And they become the means of a change in his life. So Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali said that this person was sitting near a dog that was dying. So somebody asked him that, what is your problem? Why are you crying? He says, I'm tearing because this dog is dying. It is the last laps of its life. It is. He says, why is it dying? He says, dying because of starvation. Hasn't eaten for a long time. Must be very, very hungry. That's why it's dying. So he says, what do you have in your basket here? I got some bread, meat. He says, why don't you then give it to the dog? If it is dying, then give it to it. He said, the dog is dying, so I am shedding tears because tears are free. As far as this milk and bread and meat is concerned, I paid for it. So that is our condition, that to spend becomes very difficult. Whereas the whole Quran Sharif tells us that we must spend. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is encouraging us to spend, but where to spend? That is the question. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in this ayat of the Quran Sharif tells us, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are going to make shukr, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying, I will definitely, most certainly increase that bounty that I have given to you. لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Noon taqeed, ba taqeed, saqeela. Great emphasis is being placed. Now whose promise it is? It is the promise of our Creator. It's not the promise of someone that cannot fulfill His promise. It is the promise of our Creator. And He is promising that if you are going to increase your shukr and your gratitude to these ni'mats and bounties that I have given to you, then I will increase those ni'mats and those bounties. Now those bounties can come in different forms. One sahabi told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that I have learned Surah Ikhlas. Surah Ikhlas, Qul huwallahu ahad. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, I have now learned Surah Ikhlas. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam must have recited it and he learned it. And he said, I have learned it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, is there a greater bounty and ni'mat than that? Now one Surah Ikhlas, he said, it's a great bounty that you have. So the bounties of Iman, the great ni'mat of Iman. So one Kabuli chap from Kabul, but he was a very pious person, a simple person, patched clothes, hair disheveled, and he used to go around. And anybody he meets, when they seem to be showing some kind of sympathy and compassion for him, that this person's clothes don't look very good condition, he must be a poor person. The moment he finds some kind of expression of compassion coming into their hearts, or some kind of mercy and sympathy, he straight away says, no, no, don't worry. I'm not a poor person. I'm very, very rich. I'm very, very rich. So then they tell him, if you're very rich, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not like that if a person is very rich, then he must wear clothes like that. That is not something that is shukr over ni'mat. If a person has been provided, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given him sufficiently, so they must wear decent clothes, clean clothes. As long as it is within the parameters of Sharia, it does not display a kind of cultural lifestyle of some other nation and tribe. But the fact is that this person used to say, well, that was his condition, it was a hal. Therefore, we have to understand that sometimes it is a hal of a person which we are not bound to follow. It is not something that we are expected to follow. It is his hal, his condition, his mazur, his helpless. That is his hal. Like Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, 16 or 17 patches on his kurta. And he was the Amirul Mu'mineen. But he wanted to set some kind of example, because he knew what kind of corruption is going to come afterwards. Now look at the corruption in our governments. Look at the corruption in our parliament. Corruption in our cabinets. Corruption in our departments. Everything is collapsing because of the corruption. The moment the person gets a position, he gets a chair, he gets a seat, Then thereafter he believes that now that all the wealth which is of the taxpayers is my wealth and I can use it as I wish, stay in luxury hotels at the expense of the taxpayer and buy homes and buy posh cars and fill up one's pocket and fill up one's and raise one bank account on the expense of the taxpayer. So as Umar radiallahu ta'ala wanted to set some kind of an example, and therefore we find that the governors of his time, very, very simple living. But it was not necessary now that every Amirul Mu'mineen or every person who becomes a governor or every person who gets a high position or a seat, then he must wear like that with couple patches. Our great, great mashayikh and great, great awliya-i kiram, how many of them really wore patched clothes? So that is a hal, it's a condition, like Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayh, he never wore shoes in Madina Sharif. When somebody asked him that, why don't you wear shoes? He said, due to the adab of this place. He used to go right out onto the outskirts of Madina Sharif, just to relieve himself. He says, because it's possible that somewhere where the toilet has been made, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam or the Sahabi may have walked some times before the house was built there. But now his students did not impose upon others, or he didn't impose upon his students or others that you too now must walk without shoes. But if somebody gets that kind of hal and condition, then it is acceptable. Then we must appreciate. But we must not impose. Therefore, many of us, sometimes we get some kind of a hal and some kind of a kayfiyat, or what we may term as an experience, and then we want everybody to follow suit. So what we have to follow is the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here we are talking about the bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that they are in many, many different forms. So this person used to say that, don't look at my clothes and think that I am poor. I am extremely rich. So they say, if you are extremely rich, then why don't you show it on your garments? And yet he was poor. It's not that he had money. He was not a rich person. So when they made a little more inquiry, then they found out that what he was saying is that, I have iman. I have belief in my Allah. And this iman is a ticket to Jannat. So even though I may not have money, I don't have cash, I don't have good clothes, but the fact is that I'm a very rich person. Now his richness was in his heart, although he didn't have it in his pocket. So iman itself is a great ni'mat. Now the shukr of that ni'mat will be according to that ni'mat, according to that bounty and that gift. So the person will have to fulfill the rights and the demands of that iman. Then the same with all other aspects. Then if we go to the physical body also, what a great ni'mat is the sight, the hearing, the speech, the hands and feet. Just one finger sometimes goes missing after an accident, and see what kind of restlessness the person experiences. Just one little finger. If the person's sight is gone, then where goes all that addiction? Addiction, they say, to the porn sites. Addiction. This morning I was discussing with some guests who are here that this addiction thing is a total false claim. The person says that it's impossible to give up this, impossible to give up that. If anything was impossible, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would not have made it farz. Those who say, whilst we are walking the streets, or whilst we are at the airports, or whilst we are in the aeroplanes or other places, it's impossible to lower the gaze or to cast lustful glances. It's impossible. Now just tell that person that whilst you are watching that porn sites, or whilst the person is casting that lustful glance, Allah ta'ala prohibit and Allah protect us. But if at that time, if a hijacker has to suddenly place the gun at his head, then see if he still continues watching that porn site, or he starts screaming and shouting, Allah, Allah, save me. What happened now? Suddenly, why the whole thing changed? It's something that was impossible, how it became possible. So we are fearing the hijackers, we are fearing the murderers, we are fearing the thieves and the burglars, we fear everybody else. Allah Ta'ala has therefore put so much of fear in our hearts of everything, because we don't have that khawf of Allah Ta'ala. Whereas that khawf and fear of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was due to that love of Allah that was supposed to be in our hearts. And that kind of khawf and fear is something that is pleasant. It is something that a person, he does even in his life, that the person that you have great love for, then you fear agitating that person, you fear that person's annoyance, you fear that person's anger, you fear that person cutting off that tie and relationship because of that love, that great love that the person has got. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like a lion or a tiger or a hijacker or a murderer, na'uzu billah. Allah ta'ala, it should be so much of love in our heart that my Allah has blessed me with so much, so much, so much. Ponder over all these ni'mats and bounties that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us. There's so much that the person has got, even if he has got no money, but he's got billions of dollars worth in his body. Look at the organs and parts of the body, at what prices they are sold. And look at all the rackets and scams that are being run just to extract and get those body parts. And the person is born with it without any kind of payment. Then again, this whole intizam and arrangement that Allah Ta'ala made of the sun, the moon, the stars, the waters of the ocean and the fresh air and oxygen and everything else. So now he's got so much. So now he should love Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's annoyance, fear Allah Ta'ala's displeasure, fear Allah Ta'ala's wrath, fear Allah Ta'ala's anger. Because just as he can give, he can also pull back, he can take away. In different forms he can take away. One tsunami can destroy, one earthquake can take away. One gale force winds can take away. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is powerful. So that fear must be born out of the love for Allah Ta'ala. So la in shakartum la zidannakum. Wa la in kafartum inna azabi la shadid. But if you are going to be ungrateful, this kufran of ni'mat, being ungrateful to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, abusing those gifts and those ni'mat that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has blessed the person with. Therefore, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the Quran Sharif, in many places, He has given us such kind of explanation, such kind of waz, such kind of nasihat, such kind of details. The nations of the past, these are not just fairy tales and stories just to put us to sleep. We say, must tell the children some stories bedtime so that they can fall off to sleep. So the Quran Sharif doesn't tell us bedtime stories to put us off to sleep. It is to get us up from our sleep. That look at these nations of the past. What were the causes of their ascendancy? What made them go high? What made them prosper? What brought them Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's fazal and ni'mats? And what were those actions in their lives which brought about their destruction? Look at the qawm of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Everybody wants to visit the three harams, and everyone goes there to the Black Sea or the Dead Sea. What a reminder it is that look, when they engaged in homosexual activities, what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala did. Sodom and Gomorrah, how it was destroyed. And this has become so common now, even commonly prevalent even in the Muslim community. Young boys and girls, and because of the influence of the television and the movies and the kind of friendships that they keep, they are engaging in these kind of vile activities which brought about destruction of ummats, destruction of a whole nation, destruction of whole localities. It was raised up to the skies and turned upside down. So these are not fairy tales that Allah Ta'ala is mentioning. Look at the qawm of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. They thought that business is something that you can conduct as you wish. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam of the time must not tell us how to run our business. Then look what happened. Look at all the other nations. So if the person is going to increase his shukr, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that I will definitely increase that bounty and ni'mat. There is something that is promised by Allah ta'ala. Therefore we find that even when we are starting our namaz, we start with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah Ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds, sustainer of the worlds. This Alhamdulillah you will find in so many du'as of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in so many du'as, expressing gratitude to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When a person is traveling, if he reaches his destination safely, that itself requires shukr. When the person gets up in the morning and he sees that he can still walk his way to the toilet, he can go to the shower, He can see his wife's face, he can see his parents' faces, he can see his children's faces. The person picks up his book, he can read his book. The person is able to pick up the clock and look at the time with his eyes. How many ni'mats as soon as the person gets up? How many people went to sleep and never got up? And so many got up, their sight was gone. Somebody's hearing was gone. Somebody was paralyzed. Somebody was deprived of some other ni'mats and bounties. Now this person, after having made wuzu, is able to go to the masjid. Now again, look at the number of bounties that he's able to drive. He wasn't hijacked on the way. He wasn't murdered and killed. He didn't have an accident on the way. Thereafter, again, he has his breakfast. And then he goes to the business house. There again, he's not jammed up in the traffic. And when he arrives there also, he finds that his office and his business is still okay. The business hasn't been ransacked. Goods haven't been stolen. There's just ni'mats upon ni'mats upon ni'mats. If we have to really count, we cannot count. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. So these times that we are living in, which is full of fitnas, full of corruption, full of mischief, and there's an invitation towards sins of a kind that never existed in the past. But we are not even recognizing the sins. In fact, those people who warn us and inform us, then we say that they are taking away our enjoyment, taking away enjoyment. I will conclude on one beautiful example that Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh gives. He says that one falcon belonging to a king, it happened to land in a place where only the owls were living, the owls. It was Ulluwistan, as we say. All the Ullus were living there, the owls. So it happened to land there, so all these Ullus and owls, they straight away had a meeting. He's giving an example. They straight away had a meeting. He said, it looks like this falcon that has come here wants to take over our territory. Because there were only owls and vultures that were living. So he said, it looks like he wants to take over our territory. So therefore, let us all get together and destroy him. So the falcon said, oh, you ullus and oh, you owls and oh, you vultures. He said, what am I going to do with your filthy, dirty territory? I live in the palace of the king. I sit on the shoulder of the king. I am fed by the hand of the king. And you think I'm going to come for your dirty, filthy territory here and for your carcasses over which you fall. By means of this example, he says that those people, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, the awliya, the muhaddithin, the mufassireen, all the pious and the righteous around the globe at all times, when they come and warn us, or when they come to tell us that look, the type of sins that you are engaging in, the porn sites, the discos, the cinemas, the theaters, the illicit love relationships, this territory of yours is not something that we are desirous of. We don't want to take it away because it's filthy. But we want you to taste, we want you to taste a little bit of that sweetness as that falcon is tasting from the hand of the king. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to give you that sweetness of iman if you just distance yourself a little. Make a little bit of himmat and courage, because you are not going to get enjoyment. It is going to be nothing but dead carrion or carcass that you are going to be eating as vultures. But what do they say? This is our territory, and it seems as if they want to snatch it away, our enjoyment and our pleasure. So there is no true enjoyment in that. It is just like how we are given chloroform when we are undergoing an operation. Then at that time chloroform is given. When chloroform is given, the patient doesn't feel any kind of pain, and the doctor goes on chipping, chopping, cutting, slicing, as the women do with onions and potatoes. And after that, when he recovers, then he realizes that there's pain here, pain there, pain there. Shaitan, my dear brothers, has given us chloroform. He's not allowing us to feel the pain of sins. He's not allowing us to feel the wrath and anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala when we are engaging in those haram, dirty, dark deeds and actions. But when that chloroform effects will go off at the time of death, then the person will suddenly get up and realize and make hi, hi. Or sometimes due to a shake-up in his life, or sometimes some children going astray and going on to drugs and drinks and other kinds of bad habits, and they want to now murder and kill even the parents or beat them up, or there's some kinds of other calamities and disasters, or there's a business collapse, there's recession and depression and all kinds of things are happening. Then suddenly this person gets up and makes, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, and then runs around for taweezes and says, somebody has done jadu, somebody has done jadu. That is the jadu. The jadu is of the sins, which is bringing all the kind of problems. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq of amal. Inshallah, tonight we will be having a program here from 9:15 after Isha till about 10:45. We're calling it the stay away program. Going to those places of fitnas is not going to help in any way. It's going to make our life miserable, restless. After sins, a person never finds any kind of comfort if he's a Muslim. So take your children, bring them here. Make them sit. We'll be having some qiraat, some naat sharif, some zikr, some dua. And 10:45, then they go home and go and sleep. Because I mentioned that the person who will sit for that 1.5 hours, thereafter, we don't expect him to become a bandar or a monkey and go down to the beachfront and join the party. After that, we expect him to follow the qalandar. Instead of becoming bandar, he must become a qalandar. But our weakness is this, that haram, halal, sab kuch andar, phir bhi hai mas qalandar. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering of the ummah around the globe. You make dua for my hidayat and istiqamat and khatima on iman, and I make dua for you.